7. So Mark chapter 8, verse number 27. Here's what it says. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith to him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Let's pray. I want to look at that last verse and why Jesus said that. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you for the testimony of Jesus Christ. We thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. But God, I do pray that you'd help us to see this morning a powerful truth when it comes to our testimony and the way in which we live our lives as Christians. So God, I do pray that you would bless this message. I pray that you would use this message in my life, in the lives of everybody here this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. When you read the Gospels like Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, it's amazing to see our Savior Jesus Christ. He is absolutely amazing. It's incredible to see what he does, but there's things like what happens in this passage of Scripture that are absolutely fascinating to me. And they're incredible because they bring such a wonderful truth about who he is as a Savior. And I mean, he did so many wonderful things that we read about in the Gospels. He heals the sick. That's incredible. That's amazing. He would feed those that were hungry. That's incredible too. That's amazing to see him do that. He would even raise the dead. It is amazing. It's incredible to be able to say, wow, this is incredible that Jesus is doing these things. But something that has puzzled me, and my wife and I have talked about this, and I didn't understand completely why he did this, is the instructions he gives to someone that he has just helped. Because he even does it in this text this morning. In verse 30, after Peter has identified that he is who he is Jesus the Messiah, he is the coming Savior, he is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Peter identifies him. You're him. He basically says, hey, Peter, good job. Don't tell anybody. What? And he did this often. This isn't an unusual thing that Jesus did. And many times when he would heal somebody, he would tell them, hey, don't tell anybody. I mean, why? It doesn't make any sense. Again, in verse 30 says he charged them that they should tell no man of him. I mean, he's the Messiah. He's come to save the world from our sins. He's our Savior. He's our only hope. Why not tell somebody? Why not tell everybody? Now, eventually we get to that point, but here in these Gospels, why is he telling him not to tell anybody? I mean, again, he tells us to be witnesses to every creature. So why not those he helped? Why not those he healed? Why not those like his disciples who understood this is the Messiah? The funny thing is nobody really listened anyway. And went around telling everybody anyway, but still he gave the instructions. And he intended for them to keep those instructions. You know, the truth if we were to have this story told out in today's culture, this is bad marketing. You know, it really is. I mean, Jesus didn't do anything bad, but this is not good marketing. I mean, get a hashtag going. Jesus is the Messiah, you know, hashtag Jesus is the Messiah. Get some stuff on Instagram, get some stuff on Facebook, get this stuff out there. Get t-shirts, you know, get banners, put bumper stickers on people's cars. Let people know Jesus is the Messiah. Proclaim it to everybody. That would make sense to me. That I think That's what I would do maybe if I was, you know, in that position. Tell everybody. So why wouldn't he do that? There's another interesting story in the Bible. The story is about John the Baptist, who many confused Jesus to be. Now, John the Baptist had once proclaimed Jesus to be the Messiah. He would declare, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He declared this. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He made the way for Christ. Powerful, powerful man. And yet later on in his life, when he is in prison, the man who had once proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah is now starting to doubt his own words about Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 11, in verses 2 through 6, we read the story. Now when John, that's John the Baptist, heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto him." And then he said, "Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." And again, what? I mean, it's a yes or no answer. You know, are you the Messiah or not? Yes. No. That's it, right? That's what we're looking for. Plain, simple. Just lay it out there for everybody. But he did. Now, to be fair, at times in his ministry, Jesus did very plainly tell people who he was. Remember the woman at the well? She said, "We know that Messiah is going to come. We know he's going to." And Jesus said to her very plainly, "I am he." So there was times and there were instances where he did reveal himself, but on the majority of circumstances, in many of the places where he went, he did not confirm it by telling anyone. He didn't answer the questions directly. He didn't proclaim his deity. He didn't proclaim the fact that he was the Messiah and is the Messiah. So the question still remains for us this morning, why did he do that? Now the Bible tells, I think I have an idea here, and I want to share it with you. I think it'll help you in your Christian life because we'll apply it to our life a little bit later. The Bible and history tells us that at this time period, both before Jesus Christ and even after, there were actually several other people claiming to be the Messiah. So Jesus wasn't the only one in the running for being the Messiah, if you will. Now, he was absolutely the Messiah, but there were other people out there, both before we read about in the book of Acts. Remember when Gamaliel was talking to the leaders, the Jewish leaders, about the Christians, said, "Hey, remember this other guy rose up thinking him to be somebody? And once he was off the scene, they fizzled." He was claiming, this man claimed to be the Messiah. And there were others that made these claims. And there was a lot of people, we could say, that were proclaiming the fact that they were Messiah. Now, it could be, I don't know this to be the fact, it could be that John the Baptist heard of some of these other claims while he's stuck in prison. He's going, "Wait a minute." You know, and he began to doubt. It's hard to say for sure, but one thing we know is there was more than one person who was the Christ, claiming to be the Christ. So, truth is, if you were to go up to one of these false Christs and you would say, "Hey, are you the Messiah?" You know what their answer is going to be? An emphatic yes. Absolutely, I am the Messiah. Hashtag, I'm the Messiah. That's how they're going to respond. They're the false Messiahs. Everyone you go to. In fact, they're going around telling everybody, "I'm the Messiah, I'm the Messiah." So Jesus, instead of just throwing another "I'm the Messiah" in the ring, went about it another way. Instead of proclaiming the fact that he was the Messiah, he demonstrated it. He didn't just talk the talk. No, he in fact walked the walk. He he showed he was the Messiah. That was what's different. That's the difference between Jesus and everybody else. Was he didn't just go up there and say, yeah, I'm the Messiah. He showed everybody. He demonstrated in real, tangible evidence. And he wanted everybody to see it for themselves. And most of them, many of them, wanted to see it for themselves. Ask Zacchaeus, right? He went to great lengths to see it for himself. And that's why he told, his response was different. When he told John the Baptist, hey, listen, John, the blind receive their sight. The lame, they're walking. The lepers, they're cleansed. The deaf, they hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. It's a powerful, amazing, incredible statement. I'm not just going to say what every other Messiah thinks that they're going to say. Yeah, follow me, I'm he. No. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached unto him. Don't miss this point. Jesus didn't proclaim that he was the Messiah. He displayed it. And when he said it of us, he said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. See, anyone could proclaim to be the Messiah. In fact, you and I could. But only one could raise the dead. And that was Jesus. You see, the same idea is for us as well. The same thought process when it comes to the fact of our identity. Literally anyone, anywhere, can claim to be a Christian. Anybody. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, you can claim to be a Christian. I'm a Christian. There you go. I just did it. And Jesus said, that's not how you know my followers. You don't know my followers by what they proclaim. Just like you don't know who the Messiah is by what he proclaims. You know it by their by their works. That's how you know it. That's how you can identify Christians. Anybody can claim to be a Christian, but only those who are born again, and in that position also being yielded to the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God, can display true Christianity. That's it. And it's about displaying Christianity. It's about displaying, truthfully, Jesus. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. You know, I had lunch this week with an elderly man. He's in his 80s. He had a lot of things to share with me, and we talked about a lot of different things. And inevitably, the conversation went to Christianity, where it usually happens with me, whether I like it or not. And I like it. I do. I like talking about the Lord. I like talking about the Bible, because I'm a pastor. People want to talk, and it's great. I love it. So we started talking about the Bible and different things, and he grew up in a Catholic background, but he'd come to know the Lord, and he's saved. I believe he's a saved man. He said something to me, though, that was, I found, incredibly powerful. He said, oftentimes people will ask me, are you a Christian? Just like they may ask you, are you a Christian? And you know what he responds with? Not a demonstrative, yes, I am. Bless God, you know. It's, yeah. Here's what he says. When somebody asks him if he's a Christian, he says, you tell me. Whoa. Because if my behavior and my actions do not demonstrate true Christianity, I have no right to claim to be a Christian. Truth is, I was. That's a profound statement. I didn't even jot it down. I was going to remember this. And I was like, yeah, I'll preach that on Sunday. That's great. Woo! That's good stuff. Because it is. You tell me whether or not I'm a Christian. Isn't that what Jesus did? Hey, who do men say that I am? Okay, who do you think that I am? You tell me. Because anybody can walk the walk or can talk the talk. Anybody can say what needs to be said to sound like a Christian. We know the vernacular. Hey, throw a couple brothers and sisters in there and you're really going for it, right? Hey, brother, yeah. Sounds like a Christian. But our concern shouldn't be so much to sound like a Christian, although there's nothing wrong with sounding like a Christian. It should be to live like one. Yes. See, in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, the Bible tells us the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. We mention this oftentimes, but it's an interesting statement. They did not call themselves Christians first at Antioch. They didn't coin the term. The word Christian simply means little Christ, somebody who's behaving like their Messiah. That's what it means. And they were claiming the people outside of the church were looking at the church at Antioch and saying, you people remind us of that Jesus. And they started calling them Christians. They never put the title on themselves. I am a Christian. Now, ultimately, we did that. But originally, that's not how it happened. You know, and I know there's conversations. I have people that call me from time to time or that talk to me, and are you a Christian church? Well, yes, we are. And in that point, you tell me. I have no idea. You know, they might not know. It might not work in some situations. But when it comes to our neighbors, when it comes to our families, when it comes to the coworkers that we interact with on a daily basis, we shouldn't have to constantly declare our Christianity. They should see it. They should know that we are a Christian. Hey, I'm a Christian. Good for you, you know. That's the reaction you're probably going to get if that's the way you're going to be about it. Woo! Should we throw you a party? I mean, what do you want? And a lot of times there's almost resentment that comes when we go around throwing our, yeah, I'm a Christian. Okay, that's good. Like, amen. But anybody can say that. What we want, what we need, is for Christians that actually live like Jesus. That's the goal for all of us, is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose for the Christian life, is to be like Christ. So, the truth is, if you were to ask my neighbors, my friends, people that I come into contact with every day, would they say that I am a Christian? You tell me. By the way I act. I would even go a step further. What about those that aren't we come into contact with on social media? Those people that we talk to on social media. Would they say of that person, yes, they are Christian. By the way they handle themselves. By the way they talk and use their words, they're Christian. That's Christ right there. Or are we sending a different message? I hope, my prayer is for our church that we would adopt that idea of you tell me. Hey, is Kauai Baptist Church, are we a Christian church? You tell me. Are we as a church body acting like Jesus? Are we reaching our community like Jesus? Are we helping the hurting? Are we feeding the hungry? To the poor is the gospel being preached. And might as well throw in every creature with that one, because that's what he told us to do. That's our goal. That's our job. That's what we should be doing. Again, I think sometimes as Christians, we think our motivation is to declare it to everybody. We are Christian. I'm fine with saying you're a Christian. I think it's great. I think, you know, if on your social media you put there, I'm a Christian, I think there's nothing wrong with that. But more than that, we need to have a life that represents that. Yes. Not just declaring our Christianity, but actually displaying it. We need to love like Jesus loves, and we need to serve like Jesus serves. I mean, when you start thinking about who did Jesus love? Well, you know, sinners, everybody, you know, he loved people. And it's you know, I love this too, because sometimes we get that definition of love as me yelling at you, telling you where you were wrong, right? That was loving. I'm loving you by yelling at you and telling you how wrong you are. Now, Jesus absolutely rebuked. He absolutely saved. But he ate with sinners. He helped sinners. Again, he wasn't going around with the bread as they're feeding 5,000. Let me hear it. You know, you tell me where your allegiances lie. You know, where are you at? Okay, good. Give him bread. Next person. You know, he just loved people. They were hungry. He fed them. That's what he did. That's Jesus. And he served them. Remember washing the disciples' feet? Remember the different things that he did? He humbled himself. That's Jesus. So you tell me. I think it's a challenge for us as a church. What would our community say about us? What would our neighbors say about us? What would our coworkers say about us? I want to adopt that motto if we can. Just a little in your mind, when somebody talks about Christianity or they ask you if you're a Christian, you tell me. Have I demonstrated Christ to you? And if not, I hope our answer would be, give me a few minutes. You'll see it. It's coming. I'll get there. Just give me the opportunity. And we share Christ. We share his message of his death, his burial, his resurrection. Amen. We share that with everybody. And he's what comes through. It's a challenging thought, but I believe it's one that needs to influence how we live our lives. Because we see it in Jesus Christ. For so long, I've wondered, why is he doing that? Why would he deny? Not deny, but why would he not plainly tell it? Just end it once and for all. Just say it. But he rarely did. But he sure showed it.
Yes.
And that's what made the difference. And in a world where there's all kinds of Christians, right? There's all kinds of people out there doing all kinds of stuff, even in the name of Christianity, that you're like, ooh. Maybe our best mode of evangelism isn't going out there and just plastering it everywhere, but showing it everywhere. And the world can see the difference. You know, again, we've used this illustration, and I've had people call me before, but there's this church in Kansas that goes out and protests people and funerals and stuff. It's terrible. It's wicked. It's horrible. But they do that as, quote-unquote, Christians.
we're the same.
No, we're not. And I'm going to demonstrate how we're different. And I know that takes time. I understand that. And it's so much easier just to get it out there, right? To the masses. Mass produce it. But I think it's more effective if we just take it one by one, person by person, showing them Christ. And that makes a difference. People will know. People understand. And ultimately, many, I believe, will end up believing. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And the result of them seeing your good works is that they glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I mean, glorifying your, that sounds pretty good. I'd love for my neighbors to do that. I'd love for people that I come into contact with to do that because of what I do. That's your light that we need to let shine. It's your good works. So as we close this morning, I challenge you, as we live this week and this month of November, it's the thankful month. But let's make sure that we're not just proclaiming something, but that we're living it too. Because ultimately, if you live it, you won't even have to proclaim it. Everybody else will take care of that for you. Because ultimately, those people who are healed, I've been healed. They're going to tell somebody. They're going to go out and show it because they saw the Christ. There may have been other jokers that they came across along the way, out there delusional. They weren't the Christ. It was all fluff, all words, all just agenda, whatever. But Jesus was substance. He's the Christ. We'll follow him. And if we lift up Christ, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And that's our job, to lift up Christ. He must increase, I must decrease. And we can make an impact on our community. When we just say this motto, you tell me. You tell me. Let's close for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. Lord, we thank you for your example. I'm so moved by what you did. Again, my understanding would be just to tell everybody. Get it out there. Make some posters. But you just showed people. And so, God, I pray that you help us to have that same motto as Christians as well. God, I pray that you help us to demonstrate your kindness and your goodness, your gospel, to be little Christ everywhere we go. Lord, I thank you for this church. I love this church. I love the people here, God. I pray that you'd bless us as we seek to be your light here in this place.